Now can you hear me? Okay. So did you hear anything I just said? Okay. We talked about the Ozark Mountains, the water, rapids, and Broadwater. So now you're caught up. Well, when we look at the early church in the book of Acts, what we see is more of the roaring rapids of things happening fast and furious and so much going on as God works supernaturally by the power of his Spirit in visible ways. But through the centuries, this quick, narrow focus of the roaring rapids of church ministry becomes broader and deeper. It's no less powerful. In fact, the breadth and the depth, more like the mighty Mississippi, where the Buffalo River eventually flows into, is more useful and beneficial. In the book of Acts, we see how the author Luke records for us 2,000 years later the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ here on earth. We've talked over the last several weeks of how the book of Acts begins with Jesus' ascension into heaven, leaving the work here on earth to continue through the body of Christ, where his physical body is in heaven, preparing a place for us. We, as the body of Christ, are just as visible, doing his work here on earth. It's helpful for us to review both aspects of the early church and what the church continues to be and do today. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 15, where we pick up this morning and continuing our walk through seeing Jesus' ministry here on earth. In Acts chapter 15, as we finished up a little bit last week, we want to look back at some of the highlights where we see three keys to effective ministry by the church today. It's going to be kind of a summary review, stepping back and saying, why are we doing what we are doing? How do we decide what things we're going to choose to do and what kind of things we have to say no to doing as the people of God, as the church, to be effective in ministry today? Where through the ministry of the church, we see the power and the force of Christ like a roaring rapid. But we also see the depth and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ poured out to the world today through us, the church. So in looking at three keys to effective ministry, the first one we see is in verse 36 as we pick up there this morning, where we see one of those essential keys is the right purpose. The right purpose for what we're doing. In verse 36, Luke tells us that after some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in every town where we have preached the message of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing. Let's just check in on people and see how we can minister to them effectively." And so as we look just a few verses later in verse 41, he, that is Paul, traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The right purpose, one of the first things is mutual edification, strengthening the body of Christ. It's what Paul and Barnabas were committed to doing and others to strengthen the church, build them up. We see this word again in verse 5 of chapter 16. So the churches were strengthened in the faith by the effective ministry of Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark and so many others. That as they wanted to strengthen and encourage the church, they'd already done evangelism. They wanted to be a part of discipleship, of teaching and encouraging and challenging the new believers to continue following Jesus Christ by faith. The term that Luke uses here, the good doctor Luke, of strengthening the churches, it's a medical term that describes the healing of a lame person, someone who is not physically fit to do anything physical, to heal them so that they can be productive and have impact. In that same way, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Barnabas and John Mark, and others in the church were effective in providing some some mutual edification, strengthening, the building up of the body. Teaching the Word of God, teaching truth, not just their opinions, but going back to the essentials of who is Jesus and what has He done for us. You know, Wendy's ministry she talked about this morning is that of helping churches through edification, through the teaching and equipping of men and women to know how to be effective in sharing the gospel, to build them up, to strengthen them. And that's what we're committed to here at Plano Bible Chapel, is to teach and equip people with the Word of God, a part of mutually edifying one another through life connections on Sunday mornings, a significant part of not just hearing a sermon that by its very nature is going to be more of a lecture, more of me looking at you and you looking at me and also seeing the back of somebody else's head. Our life connection classes at 9:30 are a critical part of not just the ministry of the Word through a sermon, but the ministry of God's Word through teaching and discussion and mutually edifying one another. I know it's another hour and a half early to come to church on Sundays, but it's a part of being effective as a church for you to be built up and equipped. You know, we're not into playing guilt games or anything like that, but I just want to say, if you can, come not just at 11, but come at 9:30 through some great teaching from children, our students, and adult classes, and our fellowship hall, currently being taught by Ted Vandenhavel, our family class led by Brenton Andrea Newsom, and I was going to say Culverson, but that's Andrea's maiden name, the Newsoms, and then the Browns leading our young adult class. Some great things are going on because we're committed to mutually edifying each other with God's Word. During the week, we have men's and women's ministries to equip godly men and women with the Word of God on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights for men, Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights for ladies as well. Our Saturday men's prayer breakfast of them encouraging one another and edifying one another, praying for our missionaries and the ministries of Plano Bible Chapel. We do that not just to stay busy, but we do that because that's a part of strengthening the body of Christ. It's one of the primary purposes for the church. We also see through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas and others, the communal encouragement, the body of Christ being encouraged by one another. In Acts chapter 15, as we looked over the last couple weeks, we see both a theological and a personal problem that arose in the early church. The theological problem was, how does a person become saved? And so the church wrestled with this, and a leadership meeting was called and held to resolve the problem. And the result was the determination by the leaders of the church, the apostles, the elders, and the whole church being led by the Holy Spirit to make a decision that clearly the gospel was that a person is saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And as they reported this to all the churches, we see in verse 31 of chapter 15, when they heard about this, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. That same encouragement is passed on from Paul, where he goes on and ministers to those in other areas. And in verse 5, or verse 4, as they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions from chapter 15. They delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem for them to observe. And in the same way, they were encouraged and built up. As they traveled throughout the towns, they encouraged the believers to stay committed to the gospel message of salvation in the name, the person, and the finished works of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And it was encouraging to them. You know, I don't know anyone who doesn't want or need some encouragement. We all do. And that's a significant part of us gathering together to worship, to celebrate around the Lord's table. Over the last several weeks, we've had several occasions to celebrate and be encouraged by the power of God that's at work within us because of the great salvation that we share in Christ. For several weeks, we celebrated I'm trying to think to remember. I think it was 15 baptisms over the last 3 weeks. What an encouragement to us to see men and women, boys and girls, students who have placed their trust in Christ and to celebrate in baptism. Today we have an opportunity to celebrate with Wendy Wilson, the great things that God is doing in and through her, and share the things that God is doing in and through us, to be mutually encouraged as a significant part of sharing what God is doing here locally in Plano and around the world in some ways and means other than what Wendy is sharing we wouldn't know about, but to see God is active and present at work through our missionaries. In just a few weeks, we've got several baby dedications that are coming up, which, as we see it here, are really more parent dedications and congregation dedications to mutually edify the body of Christ through the teaching of God's word and to celebrate and encourage one another in the purpose that we have of building up the body of Christ. We've also got some times of fellowship for a trunk or treat and a chili cook-off coming up when one day the weather cools off. We've got other opportunities for us to serve with a work day that our deacons are planning and the fellowship and encouragement that takes place as we not just look at each other, but do work together around our church campus. There's so many ways and things that we do, not just to stay busy, but with the express purpose of seeing the community, the body of Christ, encouraged because of the word of the Lord. And as Paul and Barnabas edified and encouraged the church, two of the primary purposes were accomplished, edification and encouragement. But those two feed to another purpose. They build upon each other for maybe even the primary mission of the church, to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Edification and encouragement drive us to evangelism, to be intentional in our evangelism. We look at verse 5 of chapter 16. So the churches were strengthened in the faith. They were edified. They were encouraged. And were increasing. They were increased in number daily. New believers were added to the churches as they witnessed the transformed lives of these people who were now living counterculturally, no longer living for themselves, but living for the one who for their sakes died and was raised. And how they lived and why they lived that way, being edified and encouraged, led them to share the gospel. You know, it's one thing for us to do things of teaching God's word and hanging out together. But if that's all we do is just edify one another and encourage one another, it's easy for us to be so comfortable that we become stagnant in our growth in the Lord. And certainly I don't want to indicate in any means, in any way, that the teaching of God's word and the encouragement of God's people from his word and as we gather together, those are crucial and important. But I also want you to see the connection of us living out our purpose to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth through our missionaries, and as God even raises up more people from Plano Bible Chapel to be sent out to share the gospel. We've got to be focused as a church to reaching people in our community. People in our community who don't know Jesus Christ. So one of the things that we see is a critical part of why we gather together to study and to examine God's word is that his spirit would work in us and through us to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And the way that we're committed to doing that is to reaching families with children and families with students. That doesn't mean only the young, but it means starting there to reach the generations for Christ. If you've been here for very long, hopefully you've heard this several times so that it eventually begins to sink in of why we do what we do. That we want to strategically edify and encourage the church to be active in evangelism. So we want to reach families with children who are most open to the gospel, understanding and realizing that a child's moral character, morals foundation, is essentially poured like concrete by the time that they're 9. And it begins to harden through the junior high and the senior high years. And so where is the fruit of the harvest ready and ripe? It's children. And it's through the children that we want to reach the families, the moms, the dads, the uncles, the aunts, the grandparents, single moms, single dads, whoever that might be. I heard another story again this week of someone that had been away from church for a long time. And it was when they had a child who began asking questions about God that awakened a desire to know Him themselves. That's how God works. And as we want to be active in sharing our faith, we start strategically with families with children and families with students. One of the reasons that we have Wednesday night be a ministry night, and we might even want to call it an evangelism and discipleship night, is because the gospel is being shared here. Relationships are being built so that we might have the opportunity to share the gospel with our ESL classes. Taking that first step of just demonstrating Christ-like love, trying to find a common language. And Lord willing, over time, we'll have more and more opportunities to share the gospel. One of the things that's been feeding with that is we've had an increase in our Awana attendance. And we've got a ton of kids here, and it is crazy good over the last couple weeks. This past week, because of just circumstances, we had several of our leaders who were out. We're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And the Lord was great. The Lord provided, and He will. Student ministry, we've had more and more students here on Wednesday nights hearing the gospel, and they come with not just students' mess, but people messes. And we're able to build relationships with them and share the gospel. And there are several kids on the church campout this weekend who don't know Christ yet. That's why we do what we do. That's why we teach God's word, why we encourage with one another with the word of God to share the good news about Jesus Christ and see lives change forever. The purpose doesn't come from me. The purpose doesn't come from our elders or our leaders. The purpose comes from the word of God here. Look at the final verse here that we're going to look at this morning. We'll come back to it in a little while. But as Paul and Silas were led to go to Macedonia, verse 10 of chapter 16, after he had seen the vision, we went immediately and made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to evangelize them. God has called us to intentional evangelism. Not comfort, not convenience. Evangelism. That's our primary purpose as a church. Mutual edification, community encouragement, and intentional evangelism. But that is done not only by visions and by the Word of God, where certainly it can and does happen, but God chooses to use people. So the second key ingredient to effective ministry is having the right people. In the end of chapter 15, Paul chooses Silas to become his partner in ministry, while Barnabas chose John Mark. In Acts 16, if you were to go on, you would see that Silas, along with Paul, is stripped of his clothes, beaten with rods, imprisoned with Paul, and his feet shackled in stocks. Not necessarily a comfortable way of life, but God chose to use Silas. And in chapter 16, the first three verses here, we're introduced to someone for the first time. Timothy. Timothy, who is well spoken of by the church. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. So then he, that is Paul, went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium, so distant towns, probably 15 to 18 miles away, spoke highly of him. The second key of effective ministry is having the right people, like Silas and Timothy. And the right people have godly character, like both of these men. Timothy was spoken of highly. It might be rephrased, he was well witnessed. In other words, people knew of his testimony, of his character, and how he lived, that he was a follower of Jesus. It was evident to everybody. It was almost like, well, of course, everybody knows Timothy and how he lives because his character and his conduct were consistent. Timothy is the only person in the New Testament that Paul addressed in 1 Timothy 6, chapter 11, as a man of God. The right people that God uses for effective ministry have godly character. The Tuesday study that we're going through as men on both Tuesday morning and Tuesday night is about Titus. And one of the significant things that was given to Titus is to look for and find the right people who are blameless before the Lord, who are men of character. And that's what we want to be, not men of perfection, but men who are going the right direction of pursuing Christ. And quite frankly, that's one of my favorite things about Plano Bible Chapel, is how many godly men who have a depth of relationship with God and the breadth of His love and live that out consistently. And it's been going on for decades. I'm so thankful for the godly men of leaders, the godly leaders that God has placed here at Plano Bible Chapel in roles of elders and pastors and deacons and ministry leaders. Most of us aren't flashy. We're not high-profile people. We're not slick. I stumble in my speech all the time. I don't know how many times even so far this morning. We're not polished. God uses godly men and women who are pursuing Christ. And I'm thankful for that ministry that is effective here at Plano Bible Chapel. Not just great role models, great people, godly people. We're in the current process of putting together a nominating committee that's composed of an equal number of elders and deacons and members at large from the congregation to examine the scriptures and the godly characteristics that are listed in 1 Timothy and in Titus to see who do we know that is there. And it's not only a godly characteristic, but it's also something else, that the right people demonstrate a total commitment to the Lord and to His work in the church. Look at verse 16, or verse 3 of chapter 16. So the brothers spoke highly of Timothy, and Paul, verse 3, wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. Whoa. Voluntary circumcision. That is total commitment if I have ever seen it or heard it. Why? Because Paul and Timothy were committed to doing whatever it takes to reach those with the gospel. And if his circumcision was going to be an issue, he said, let's just take care of it. Let's fix that problem so there's not a barrier to reaching anyone for Christ. The right people have godly character and demonstrate total commitment that oftentimes requires some pain and maybe in some circumcision of the heart and of the calendar and of our finances. Salvation wasn't the issue here. It was an issue about how to reach more people with the gospel. How to edify and encourage and evangelize the most number of people, especially where it required a level of commitment. So the right people are not only those who have godly character, but are committed to doing whatever it takes to reaching other people with the gospel. Godly character is one thing. Total commitment is another. And as I walk around and see the things that God is doing through you, Plano Bible Chapel, I'm continually amazed to see your sacrifices of your time, of your energy, your talents. We're kind of a blue-collar church that works in white-collar areas. We're not a rich church. But there's some sacrificial giving that is going on. Now, just to be clear, I don't know who gives what and go to great lengths to make sure that that is a temptation for me at all. There's some boundaries and things in place. But what I know is that you guys are very committed to the ministry and the missionaries that Plano Bible Chapel supports. Well, there's a third key to effective ministry that we see here in Acts chapter 16. It's not just the right purpose. It's not just the right people, but it's the right place. The third key to effective ministry is being in the right place. And where is that? It's the place where God has put you. Our two banners up here kind of indicate where that might be. To start where you live. To love in the sphere of influence where you live. But to consider how we can go into all the world through our missionaries like Wendy Wilson and Mike Duffy and so many others. Through mission trips. Ways to encourage believers in the Gulf Coast area of Texas or in Florida. Start where you are and then go from there. The right place for ministry oftentimes involves some divine direction. We see that in verses 6 through 9 of chapter 16. So Paul and Silas and Timothy and some others, they went through the region, verse 6, of Phrygia and Galatia, and were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the message in the province of Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So bypassing Mysia, they came to Troas. Verse 9, during the night, a vision appeared to Paul. A Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." The right place for ministry involves some divine direction. It was the Holy Spirit who said no and closed the door to go into certain areas. And it was the Holy Spirit who led them by a vision to go to Macedonia. Only here in the New Testament, we see it's not only the Holy Spirit, but also in verse 7, the last part, it was the Spirit of Jesus who didn't allow them. Why this difference of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus? Well, it's because we know what we know about God. We know that God is a spirit. The triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, one God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And Luke just takes a small opportunity to remind us that it's God's Spirit that works through the church. It's God's Spirit that directs us where and how and when we serve him. We see that God gave Paul a vision in verse 9 for reaching the Macedonians. And God has given us a vision for reaching our community. To build relationships to reach our community. The way that we want to do that is by becoming more and more a church that looks like and interacts with our community. To be multi-generational. To be multiracial and multi-ethnic. It's one of the reasons we have a Spanish service to fulfill our vision for reaching our community. That over the last 50 years of Plano Bible Chapel's existence, our community has changed. And so must we. One of the reasons we do ESL is because of the needs around us in our community. Not only spiritual needs, but just the practical needs of needing to know how to communicate in English. So our vision in becoming a multi-generational, multi-ethnic and racial church is to do things in a certain way in worship and discipleship and evangelism to accomplish that purpose. To begin a Spanish service for those whose heart language is Spanish. You know, one of the things we're kind of talking about and saying, well, I wonder if anything's going on here and praying about how is the Lord leading us? God has led the Dmitrievsky family here. They're pretty fluent in Russian. There are quite a few Russians in this area. Maybe as we have started a Spanish-speaking service, maybe, I don't know, maybe one day we'll have a Russian service. Interesting enough, two of our students in ESL speak Russian. And I just thought, what's going on there? is God's divine spirit leading us to do something new that at first glance we're like, whoa, I don't know if we can do that. Let's just let the Lord lead us and be faithful. The right place for ministry is always going to involve God's divine direction, but it's also going to require some personal dedication to where we are. For Paul and his friends, verse 10, after he had seen the vision, Luke says, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to evangelize them. Paul and his companions went immediately into Macedonia. The Lord's Spirit had closed the doors in certain areas, but through a vision, directed them. And their response was not, well, let's check it out. It was, no, let's go immediately. And I think they even picked up somebody else. If you notice the change of pronouns there from Luke, it's the first time in the book of Acts that the pronouns we and us are used. I think Paul and Silas picked up another friend, Luke, who went immediately where God had directed them. Not eventually, not one day, but immediately they set out for Macedonia because God had called them to go there. There was both the availability and the opportunity, and they followed the Lord. Love where you live. Go into all the world. Where the Lord directs and where it requires some personal dedication. Where is it that the Lord is directing you to serve? In an aspect of edification or encouragement or evangelism. You know, if you look at your bulletin, you'll see some opportunities in children's ministry, student ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, missions ministry. We're really not lacking for opportunities. The question is, are you available? And are you willing? Effective ministry in the church happens by having the right purpose, God using the right people with godly character and total commitment, and simply going where the Lord leads them, to bloom where they're planted, to serve where there's a need, to get involved. That's one of the reasons I love serving here at Plano Bible Chapel. I've only been here just a short time relatively, but for almost 50 years now, God has faithfully been working in and through godly men and women who have grown up in this church and are serving all over the world, and many who are still here today, faithfully following Jesus, loving one another, and serving the world in order to share the gospel for the glory of God. Quite frankly, I've never been more excited about being involved in ministry than I am today. I just love serving with you because I'm so encouraged to see what God is doing in us and through us. I'm thankful for you. And most of all, I'm thankful that God has called us to be His people together for His purposes in this place.